This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly show. We cover soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, and the rest of the world. It's what we do. We're going to hit all of those places on tonight's show. We're going to talk about teams that might possibly be coming to Atlanta next summer in the 2026 World Cup. We've got a couple squads that have booked a trip since we spoke last. We'll talk some more World Cup qualifying. We will talk about some other things going on around the world of soccer, but we're going to start tonight not with Atlanta United, which is almost how we always start after an Atlanta United match weekend. Not this time, because the U.S. men's national team has taken the top billing dubious ways. I'm also joined by Madison Cruz this evening, who you've heard on Atlanta United pregame and postgame coverage. What's up, Maddie?
Oh, nothing much. You know, like you said, you know, we're starting with the unfortunate and disappointing run in the Nations League. Everything with the U.S. men's national team, just it's.
I believe it is our contractual obligation as hosts in the United States to express our disappointment with how things went in the CONCACAF Nations League. The memos went out and we have to talk about it, so we will. I think a lot of people are tired of talking about it. I think a lot of people are picking their performative outrage that they want to choose here. You know, we could have held up a selfie stick and yelled and screamed and did that. That's what some folks will do. We could have blamed everything from rec departments to pay to play to high school soccer to anything imaginable for these results. And really, what it comes down to is you are in this really weird spot. And I've been trying to kind of synthesize this all day. You're in this weird spot as a national team right now where you're good enough to play a team like Panama, who does not have the same talent level, and will say, okay, we're the underdog here. We're going to sit back. We're going to play a 5-4-1. We're going to defend deep. We're going to dare you to find a way to pick a hole through us. You're probably not, especially on a field that's not 70 yards wide. Again, good job SoFi Stadium for not building a field that's wide enough when you wanted the World Cup. Now you have to take out rows of seats at an expense. Have fun. Good times. Anyway, Panama will sit back and defend and do their thing, and it worked. They had one shot on target. It's the shot that ended up deciding the match. Okay, you're good enough for that to force a team to do that, but you're not good enough in a match against a team that's pretty even with you on talent, like it or not, Canada is. You're not good enough to take care of that business. And you're in this spot that you used to not necessarily be, where you were typically underdog most of the time. And even when you weren't an underdog, teams still had an arrogance about, it's just the U.S., we can take care of them. That's not the case anymore. So you're good enough to scare teams, but not every team. And you're not good enough to deal with teams that are scared and beat teams that you're even with. And that's a problem, because that's a really hard spot to get out of.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you go back to the game against Panama. I mean, you look at it, and Panama's a great team. They're a hard team to go up against. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had the ability to win it. You had options. You had opportunities, and you just could not find the back of the net. And Panama capitalized. They took advantage, and, you know, they got one. And it's just, you did that. Then it's like, okay, now you're going to the third place game. You're going up against Canada. And you got an opportunity to hopefully try to, you know, regain yourself, get the third place, you know, find the footing. And then you didn't do it there either. It's a disappointing thing. And I mean, I'll kind of quote it to, you know, watching Jillian Sakovic on Golasso as well. You know, it is a mentality thing. A lot of people blamed Berhalter towards the end. And listen, it was Berhalter's time to go, and that was already sent. But I think the way it went out, people blaming him solely for what was happening, I don't think that was fair. And now you're seeing it again under Pochettino, and it's like, what more proof do you need that something needs to change mentality-wise with it? And I also, too, Thierry Henry also said something, too. You know, there was a lot of stuff going around about Christian Pulisic wearing the captain's armband and not acting like a captain and stuff. And Thierry Henry really kind of said, he's like, don't push that role onto him. He might not be the leader that is needed for this team. And I completely agree with him, because I think Christian Pulisic is a player that will fight. And he's a fighter. We've seen that from him. We've seen it from everywhere he's been. He is a phenomenal player. And he's done a great stuff for the U.S. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's not the one to wear the captain's armband. Maybe he's someone who can come in and be that flashy player that we need. But maybe he's not the captain for this team. And something's got to change mentality-wise. Something's got to happen. Because personally, the highlights for me in that game were Patrick Ojimond and Diego Luna.
Yeah. And that says a lot about it. Like, I don't have an issue with Christian Pulisic, and nobody should. He's the best player you have. He is Absolutely. your only world-class player at the moment. And sometimes players don't have a great couple of games, and he didn't, and that's okay. Like, I don't have an issue with him. I don't have an issue with Weston McKennie. Tyler Adams had a bad second half against Canada. Tyler Adams is a very important player for this team, and you're going to need him going forward. I feel like where you are, we learned some things in these two games, and that's what you wanted. You wish you were learning these things on the positive side of it, but you're learning them on the negative side. And you've got to deal with a few things. I will remind everybody of my position on Greg Berhalter that I said basically ad nauseum last summer when we were doing these shows after Copa America games. It's not on Berhalter. I would have been fine if they had moved on after the World Cup from him. I thought he did the job there. They needed to get out of the group. They did. They got beat by a better team in the round of 16. He did about what you would expect him to do. You're looking for somebody to do more than the team would be expected to do. And you think that's going to be Mauricio Pochettino. Okay, we'll see. The World Cup wasn't played this weekend. The World Cup is next summer. You need your players to be in better positions next summer. I think what we take away from this, you've got a question at goalkeeper because Matt Turner's not playing consistently right now. He's got to get into a better club situation between now and then. I thought Tony Miola's breakdown of Turner's technique on the Panama goal is one of the best things I've seen on American soccer television. I thought he absolutely nailed it, and it was so clear and so perfectly said that if you've never played goalkeeper in your life, you would still understand it. So good. And it's not saying that Matt Turner is a bad goalkeeper. It's saying that he's not sharp because he's not playing right now. Decision-making a half second off will mean you're in the air and not able to get your foot down to push off with it and make that save. And that's what happened. You got questions about Matt Turner because he needs to play more. You got questions at center back because I don't know who's going to be the center backs when you start the World Cup next summer. I have no idea. I didn't think Cameron Carter-Vickers looked good here. I did not think McKenzie looked necessarily that great here. Austin Trusty was going to play in this. I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced by anybody at center back right now. Fullback, you'll get Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest back. You're fine there. Those are the kind of fullbacks you need. You'll have them. You don't have them right now. You got a deal. Your midfield, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, I'm good. If you want to put Luna in there, I'm playing Luna no matter what. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if you think he's he's chunky. I don't care if you think that he's not in the best of shape. He is. I don't care if you don't like his swagger. Get over it. Diego Luna's in my team no matter what because he's got a different vibe that this team needs. Patrick Adjumont's in my team right now because Josh Sargent hasn't shown anything with the national team. Valerian Balogun hasn't shown enough with the national team. Ricardo Pepi, I'm okay with seeing some Ricardo Pepi. But Patrick Adjumont at least gives you the ability to, we can't break anything down. We can't get this done. Chunk it up to the big man and let him go fight some people. You have that with him at least. That's something. It's something to fall back on. Pulisic's going to play. I thought Tim Weah worked really hard in these games. I didn't think he was necessarily always good, but I thought he was effective enough that I'm good with it. Yunus Musah, I don't know where to put him right now. Probably have him on the bench because I would play Luna as my 10 in front of two central midfielders. That's kind of what I'm taking away at this point from this team. And it's a pretty good team. Like, it's not bad. They don't stink. It's a pretty good team. But in these kinds of games that you are going to be in the Gold Cup this summer and you're going to be in the World Cup next summer, being pretty good is not going to cut it. You saw a different level of scrappiness from Panama. You saw a different level of quality in moments from Mexico. You saw definitely a different level of fight from Canada. This team and these players, they want to win. Don't give me that nonsense. This isn't a middle school team that would rather be doing something else and going to the mall. This is a group of professionals that take a lot of pride in playing for this team. But you can do that and still get outworked by a team that is going to sacrifice everything in these games. I think Diego Luna's got that attitude. He's got that vibe. Some other guys do too. Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, they have it. You need more of that. And I'll go back to what you said about the captain thing before, as I've rambled on, and I apologize for that. the captain thing, it sounds a lot like a certain Lionel Messi about 10 years ago, when that was everything that was said in Argentina about Messi wearing the captain's armband was that. He might not be, and Christian might not be that guy right now. He's your best player. A lot of times he's going to get the armband, but he might not be that guy to lead them in that way. And that's okay. He could still have the armband. There's nothing keeping Weston McKennie from talking. There's nothing keeping Cameron Carter-Vickers from talking. There's nothing keeping anybody else from talking. They got to work together. And I think that was the thing. They felt more disjointed than I'd like to see from a U.S. men's national team.
It looked like it was just all out of place, all out of whack. There was no, like you would see flickers of, like, chemistry of what they were able to do, but then, like, it would just fade away. And that, to me, is, like, you look at Diego Luna, you look at Patrick Adjumont, and they brought back that spark. They brought back that spark. And I don't want to hear, you know, oh, well, they're just MLS players and all that stuff. We've gotten way past that. You look at every other national team now. Every single MLS club had a player get called up, one player from every club called up to a national team. Mm-hmm. That says something about the league. And Patrick Adjumont came in, he scored. And Diego Luna brought that fire that I think you need.
you need that fire, you need that grit. And one place that we can talk about that we saw that this weekend was with Atlanta United in Cincinnati. In a game where they were missing a whole bunch of people at international duty and things got kind of weird. Maybe that's the pathway. Maybe the U.S. men's national team should watch how Atlanta United fought through some adversity and some chaos on Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about how that match went and maybe a little bit of the takeaways from that one as well. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz riding shotgun. Tonight, we're talking U.S. men's national team in segment number one. I don't think there's anything else to cover here. We're going to learn a lot more when we get into the Gold Cup. So you can always go back and check this out on the Off the Woodwork podcast if you're just joining us. Let's get into Atlanta United here, Maddie. It was a 2-2 draw in Cincinnati over the weekend. You were depleted to begin with. You lost Tristan Muyamba in the halfway point of the first half. You had Will Riley on yellow card trauma by the end of the first half, and it was scoreless at halftime. And then all the chaos broke out in the second half. You find a goal, you concede twice, you find an own goal, and you walk out of there with a 2-2 draw that you probably would have taken when you walked in the door. But I don't know. I kind of agree with Ronnie Dyla. I'm happy with the point, but I kind of feel like there were a couple more there.
I agree with you. It's hard because you watch what happened in the game and you go in thinking you're on the road, you're up against Cincinnati, you know, and you're down 10 players. You're drawn in from the depths. You're trying to get players in, players out, you know, everything else like that. Obviously too, with the injury to Tristan Muyamba, you already need players and now you're just losing them as they go. But I think the performance, initially you look at it, you see 2-2, you think this is awesome. The way the game played out, I think you want something more. And I agree with Ronnie Dyla. I think you're kind of, it's almost like a what if. You're like, what if we did this? What if we did that? And it's just like, like it could have been so much more. But I think looking at it, for me, I talked about it even too in post-game afterwards with Abe Gordon. I loved the fight I saw from this team. You saw the fight that happened there. And I think if you were watching this game and you see the fight that they did to pull out and get an equalizer, I don't care if it was an own goal. You created the chance, and goals win games. Goals tie games. That's what happened. And I think you look at this fight that the team showed towards the end from specific players from all over the place, the way that they responded after Tristan Muyamba's injury, everything else, they responded. And I think that's something to take away from, especially when you look at just the overall performance. I think the fight of this team, that's going to be needed. And you need that going to the rest of the season.
I love what Ronnie said about getting a new player in terms of Will Riley and his performance. Riley is a guy that, you know, I saw as an academy kid playing with Atlanta United too, and thought he was really good. And it's kind of funny. I was part of an event today with our friends at Destination Sport, and they were hosting the group of young players from Premier League academies, part of the Premier League Futures group of guys who are, you know, some are trying to figure out what their next step is going to be after time in a Premier League academy, but not getting a pro contract. Others are still kind of in the process and they might get that pro contract, and had a chance to speak to them and had a chance to bring Tyler Ruthven, a former professional with Atlanta United too, with the Atlanta Silverbacks, longtime pro, played with the New York Red Bulls, played in Sweden as well, played in the NASL. And he's a scout now for Atlanta United. And we're talking about Riley and his performance. We're talking with these guys, and some of them might go the college route. And Riley's performance, one, I felt better because Tyler was with me. I thought he was going to get subbed at halftime because he got that yellow card, had another hard foul, got the long talking to from the referee, and he handled it. He got through the second half. I don't think Mateusz Klich could have played 45 minutes. I don't know what the subs would have looked like if he subbed him at halftime. Don't think you really had the choice. But Ronnie also made it clear in the post-match comments that he really believed in Will getting the job done. And Tyler said it, and I don't have access to all of their metrics, the way that they scout players and measure players. It's way beyond what we're going to see with Opta. But I don't have a problem saying this. Tyler said it to these guys. Will's performance was one of the best central midfield performances by the metrics that they track that Atlanta United's had in years. It was that good overall in terms of interceptions, in terms of breaking up plays, in terms of recovering the ball. He was at a whole nother different level in his debut in Major League Soccer and playing 45 minutes on a yellow card. So, yeah, you got a new player in the group, because that competition that we've talked about with Bartosz Lisz, with Mateusz Klich, with Jay Fortune, with Tristan Muyamba is going to be out for a little while with a knee injury, not sure how long yet. Well, now it's five. It's Will Riley, because he was that good in this match.
I highlighted just how impressive and how like stacked you are in the midfield. You know, we look at our center backs, we look at the defenders as well. We're stacked there. You've had a solid midfield core for so long with Sleash, with Tristan, with Jay, with I'm blanking on all the names. Oh my gosh, with Riley now. I mean, you have such a solid core there. And you have this, and it's just, it was brilliant to see a young Will Riley. I think the story too, you know, being with the club, being a part of the inaugural homegrown class, the academy class, he goes through, he gets an opportunity with the twos, then he goes off to Stanford, and then he comes back to play for his home club. And he goes out and puts on a performance like that in his MLS debut. And he didn't just come off. He didn't just, you know, take a back seat and was there for the ride. He was in the driver's seat.
And he got better as the day went on.
And it was so brilliant to watch him. And the also, I think what even stands out, you mentioned it, handling being on a yellow card that early on in the game.
Yeah.
It takes like maturity and skill that even some players who are veterans don't have. When you're able to go out there and you're on an early yellow card and you're still able to hold on and be composed and play smart and also continue to help. Absolutely brilliant.
Are those dings like really for good comments?
I think they are. It's every time I make a good point, it just happens. It's great.
It just keeps going. It's funny. Like, this is a situation where in this game, we had to see Alexei Maranchuk play deeper as well with everything going on. And he played really well. And well, it's Alexei, so it's like people say he either played really well or he played really bad. It's one or the other. Nobody ever thinks Alexei has a 5 out of 10 game. It's either a 2 or an 8. Alexei had to play an 8 because he didn't have another 8. You had no more 8s because Klich couldn't play more than a handful of minutes. And Riley was already there and Muyamba got hurt. So Alexei does the job for you. You're not putting him into that mix in the double pivot because you already have 5 other guys competing for time there. You need him in the 10 spot. Don't overthink it, people, please. Just don't overthink it. You're in a situation now with Atlanta United this week where you're going to get guys back from international duty, but it's going to be kind of on a staggered schedule. You've got guys playing tomorrow night in South America, in CONCACAF play, like Jay Fortune, Luisa Brom, Efrain Morales. You've got somebody like Bartosz Lisz, who played his last game today. You've got Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan, who played their last games during the break today. You've got Dominic Chongqui, who probably won't factor into the first team at this stage, but you never know. Caden Moore, they're finishing up their time with the US U18s tomorrow. So you're going to get guys back. Some have played a lot of minutes. Some have played hardly any minutes. You're not probably going to get the whole group back until Thursday, and some guys won't be fully participating on Thursday's training session. So it's another difficult week for Ronnie Dyla and figuring out how to make it all work. And you've got NYC come into town, a team that has been above average. I mean, I think that's fair to say. Like, they're a team that I think we're going to see evolve under the first-year manager, Pascal Jensen. A very strong team with Maxi Morales in terms of veteran leadership, a team with a great goalkeeper right now in Matt Fries. He made 5 saves to earn a scoreless draw on the road in Columbus on Saturday night, where Columbus was missing a ton of people. NYC was missing Alonso Martinez with the Costa Rican national team. They'll get him back for the weekend. it's a team and a game at home where, with what you've had lately with Atlanta United, it's game six. So let's be aware of that. 6 of 34. But every game you play and you don't pick up 3 points, that means you need to go find some later. And your later start to slip away over time. It's not a game where there's a ton of really intense pressure on you here, but it's a game where I think you're looking to see this team build on what could be a performance to build some momentum on in Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of positives out of the Cincinnati result that you should carry into this.
A lot of positives. And one thing that I want to point out from what Ronnie said in his post-game press conference is he talked about, you know, the consistency level and, you know, losing shape and losing discipline and losing concentration in those moments you saw against Cincinnati. And it's not from the first goal. It's not from the free kick. It's what happened afterwards. That's what's important about it. You give up the goal, you lose concentration, you lose the shape, you allow for Evander to then get the opportunity to get the shot. You lose the focus there. But they did respond well. They responded well after that because it was a wake-up call for them. Now you just got to carry that on because there's going to be times where you're going to have 3 goals up and it's going to be 3-0, but then they're going to find another goal again. You cannot lose that focus. And that's what Ronnie's talking about. But, you know, it's the fight back as well. It took getting a second goal, but they got it. And now you can build from that and use that in other games going up against NYC. And they're a team that is known for late comebacks. We've seen it how many times this season? Like, it happened, I think, 2 weeks ago, back at home. Late goal in the 90th plus stoppage time, and it's tied up. That's a team that can hurt you. It's a team that slowly is under the radar, and that's where it needs to carry over. You're seeing so much improvement on the offense. You're seeing so much improvement all over the place. It's just, I think, keeping the shape, keeping consistency, keeping discipline, especially in those moments where, hey, maybe you lose a turnover. Maybe you get a foul that's a little bit outside the 18. Maybe you give up a goal. How do you respond after that? That's what's important.
Yeah, the response, I think, is really important in this one because there's always a concern. And, you know, when you've watched this team play for as long as I have and as long as you have and as long as many of the fans have, you know, look, we get PTSD about things. I think when you see what happened in Cincinnati and you get the goal and then you can see twice, the first one's a deflected free kick. I mean, there's really not much else you can do, but then you give up the second one and it's, yeah, we've been here before. It's going to be another decent performance that didn't get enough to show for it. And then you get punished and you go home with nothing, but that's not what happened. You saw something different in the group, a depleted group, a tired group at that stage. That needs to be how the feeling is within the group going forward, that they always have that idea that they can go rescue it. They can go get something out of it. You've got to have, I think, this ability, and I've talked about it a lot this season, and you know, I don't want to rehash it about the idea of being wide open and having control. I want to go a step further in it, and I think it's something that has been a part of the issue with Atlanta United this year. They are so up for it and really playing well in the first half and almost running themselves into the ground a little bit in the first half. And I think some of the running numbers are showing that there's a pretty big disparity first half, second half. And you don't want to not run. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But you've got to do one of two things here. You've got to, when you are in that zone, and anybody who's played sports understands it, when you're feeling it and everything's going well and you've got the energy, you got to capitalize on it. Or if it's not there, and look, sometimes it isn't. And I can't tell you how many games I've watched in my life where you see a team doing a lot of good things and you just have that feeling they're not going to score a goal here. We could play for 3 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours. They're not going to score. You've got to have that idea in some of those moments where, all right, it's not happening. Let's slow it down. Let's grab a little more control here. And let's also conserve a little bit of energy for the second half. and not run ourselves out where it's not happening for us right now. It's a balancing act. And look, that's hard. That's hard stuff to manage. And it's something that this team, I think, is going to have to find that way to do as you get ready to host NYC on Saturday night. Pregame coverage will start at 6:30 with Maddie and Abe. Kickoff will be at 7:40 with Mike Conti and myself. And we'll talk to Garth Lagerwey about midway through the Five Stripes countdown on Saturday night from the Benz. But coming up next, it's going to be the 3-4-3. Y'all know how these shows end by now. It's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. We'll see what makes Madison Cruz smile about the game that she loves so much right after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz alongside. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile, make us smile about the game that we love so much. We might even have a bonus tonight if we have time. Let's see what happens. Three local stories. Luke Brennan, number one. He scored for the US U-20s in their win over Mexico at the kind of friendly series they're doing over in Spain. 3-0 win. Noah Cobb also started. Drew 1-1 with Japan today. Really good performances from the Atlanta United reps with the U-20s. Number two is the Atlanta United reps with the U-18s, Dominic Chonqui and Caden Moore. They drew 2-2 with Morocco on Saturday. They're going to play Norway tomorrow before making their way back to the States. Maddie, you've had the chance to see all four of these guys plenty over this season so far, preseason and into the season for Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2. Really cool to see two Atlanta United reps in each of the U-20 and U-18 sides.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just go ahead and start with Luke Brennan and Noah Cobb. I mean, Luke Brennan not only is making waves within the first team, he's also doing so much stuff with the twos and just what he's able to bring. I feel like we've seen him really grow up, I think, over the past year and a half. And he's continuously improving. And, you know, it's awesome for him and Noah to be getting the call up, especially for the U-20s. And listen, we were talking about the center back situation, you know, with the U.S. I mean, look no further than Noah Cobb. He is,
he is
arguably the loudest person I hear at every training session, no matter what. And he,
That's true. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it's Miggy, if it's Latte, if it's Caden or anybody. He doesn't care. He's vocal and he's solid in the back. He's able to get everywhere you need to get him. And I mean, if we're going to look no further, maybe you bring up a young Noah Cobb, but
he's got to get his opportunity here and he needs to then do what Will Riley did. If the door opens, injuries happen, he plays with the first team. He needs to not give the spot back.
Nope.
And we'll see if he's capable of it. Dominic, I mean, Noah's a first-team player by this stage. Luke is trying to establish himself more with the first team. Dominic Chonqui will next year, I think. I think he's shown that already, that he's really close. And Caden Moore's young. I think Caden is a player who's got a little more time at center back, but he's a left-footed center back. We'll see if he can get his way into that mix, as he'll be on a first-team deal starting next year. One more on the local side, number three, South Georgia Tormenta. They advanced in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup last week, a 3-0 win over Harbor City of the UPSL. They're going to host 4-0 SC next Tuesday night in Statesboro in the second round. They'll be favored in that one as well. And we'll see if South Georgia Tormenta can go on a little cup run.
Listen, the lone Georgia team in the Open Cup right now. They got this. I have faith in South Georgia Tormenta. Nah, it was fun watching them in that 3-0 victory over Harbor City. It was awesome. Love South Georgia Tormenta. Always fun. You know, hopefully they can go through and they can, you know, win the Open Cup. And listen, I don't know if you've heard of a local team, you know, here with us in a local league called Sons of Pitches, but Cartwheel FC, we could, listen.
You're not entering the Open Cup.
We could try. Come on.
No, you're not.
Our team could kill it.
All of you would get injured in the first 5 minutes of the match. That's what would happen. And it would be in the headline segment like these. And number one that shocked me today is Laurent Courtois getting fired in Montreal. The guy has to play 6 games on the road to start this season. The guy has not had in his short period of time with CF Montreal had any money spent on a designated player. No transfer fee has been spent on a designated player by Montreal since 2014. The guy somehow took all of that he had to work with and got them into the playoffs last year. And we saw them in that wild card game. Laurent Courtois was one of the most underrated managers, according to a poll of sporting directors around Major League Soccer that was published earlier this season. And Joey Saputo woke up on the wrong side of the bed and decided to fire Laurent Courtois before he even got a home game this year. What?
It made me so mad.
Yes.
I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning feeling great. Feeling refreshed, you know. I was ready.
I wasn't after the U.S. men's national team game. I was not able to shake that one off that easily.
That is very fair. But I saw this news and it just made me mad because CF Montreal was going to be, I think, the team that was going to surprise a lot of people this season, because I really like what Laurent Courtois has done with that squad and what he was able to do with what little resources he had at his disposal. Not only was he able to do that, he was able to develop such a young group of guys and put together a team on the pitch that could do so much stuff. And it's a testament to what he's been able to do, not only at the MLS Next Pro level of developing talent. He did that with the first team. I don't understand the reasoning, especially because it's the first 6 games of the season and they were all road games. It's already so difficult to play in MLS on the road. You're not giving him a chance. He got your team to a wild card match last season. He fought the entire season. What? I agree with you. I was very upset. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very upset. I don't think it's the right call. I think it is the wrong call, and I think Montreal is going to regret it as the season goes on.
Joey Saputo's crazy. He'll probably forget that it happened in 2 days because that's just what Joey Saputo does. He likes to blow his team up and not spend any money and then fire managers and blame them for it. Good job, Joey. We'll see how this works out for you. Number 2 on the headlines, CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers tomorrow night. It's not as intense as it used to be in CONMEBOL when you had 4 teams get automatic spots to the World Cup and a 5th one having to go into the Confederational Playoff. Now it's 6 who go, and then the 7th one out of 10 go into the playoff. It's still going to be juicy tomorrow night. Bolivia and Uruguay start things off at 4 o'clock, and then 4 games at 8. Chile hosting Ecuador, Colombia hosting Paraguay and Miguel Almirón, and Venezuela hosting Peru. One more, Argentina and Brazil, just a little one. We'll talk about that in a second. So, Argentina leading everything. I think if they get a right combination of results, they can actually book their trip tomorrow night. One of those results would need to be a win at home against Brazil, where they have not beaten them in a World Cup qualifier in Argentina since 2005. Ecuador 2nd, Brazil 3rd, Uruguay 4th, Paraguay 5th, Colombia 6th. I think the top 6 are locked. There's a 6-point gap back to the playoff spot, which is Bolivia. The playoff spot is wide open now. Bolivia's on 13 points. Venezuela's on 12. Peru's on 10. They can pull to 13 points if they win. And Chile is on 9. Everybody's still alive behind that. So the playoff spot is going to be fascinating. Argentina, Brazil, you've already got Rafinha going on Romario's TV show and saying that they're ready to fight Argentina on and off the field. They don't care. He said he's going to score. And he also said some things that I can't repeat on the radio in the United States. It's that kind of a game. That's tomorrow night. There's a really cool event that we will be at tomorrow at Fideau in Midtown, the Noche de CONMEBOL. You can watch all of the games on the TVs at Fideau. And I'm just going to warn you, it's Argentina. I'm a little passionate about Argentina, and they're playing Brazil. So don't show up in a Brazil jersey and expect me to be nice.
Me and Sophia might have to hold Jason back if that happens. So please, no, don't do that. No, that game's going to be fun. And, you know, listen, and Thiago Almada coming in with
what a goal from Thiago. Goal.
My goodness. It was brilliant. But it's unfortunate, too, because I really like the way that Uruguay plays. I really do. They are a fun team to watch. And I'm rooting for them. I know they're obviously in the 4th spot. And I think I agree with you. I think it's all pretty locked.
Yeah, they'll qualify.
What that's going to be. And then you also, too, you know, other Atlanta United, you obviously got, you know, Miguel. Then you also have Luis Abram with Peru, you know. It's
they're trying to fight their way back in. The door's open now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be a fun evening tomorrow to watch a lot of these games. But
well, the one game that'll be done before we get there to Fido is Bolivia and Uruguay. And Efrain Morales, he started last game against Peru. This one's going to be at altitude. In not even in La Paz, it's an even higher stadium that they've built in Bolivia. Uruguay, we'll see if they can handle that. That starts at 4 tomorrow, then the other four games are at 8. And come join us at Fido Midtown if you're in the neighborhood. We'll see who else maybe books their spot out of South America. Number 3 is two teams who have qualified for the World Cup and could possibly be playing in Atlanta next summer: Japan and New Zealand. Japan got through their qualifying group in Asia with little trouble. Their spots booked. There could be a few teams that join them after the results early in the morning in our time, in the evening in Asia tomorrow. We'll see if Australia, South Korea, Iran are all possibly able to book their spots tomorrow. New Zealand won the qualifying tournament in Oceania. They beat New Caledonia 3-0 in that match, and New Caledonia might have their way to get in via the playoffs next year. We'll see. Number 4 on the headlines, the U.S. bid for the Women's World Cup in 2031 could include games in other countries. Now, there's talk that it could be a bid with the U.S. and Mexico, and that was what it was originally going to be in a 2027 bid. They pushed that back. It's not really defined if it's going to be a joint bid with U.S. and Mexico right now. And look, the political climate has changed, so who knows? But there's talk in the last week of the U.S. potentially allowing games, if they get the World Cup, the Women's World Cup in 2031, to be played in places like Costa Rica or Jamaica, which would be really, really interesting across the CONCACAF region. We'll keep you up to date on where all of that could go once things get nailed down. It's still kind of early stages of putting that bid together. All right, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Number 1 for me, Jacob Crumley, his success with the USCP men's national team. Jacob's a player who started in Columbus. His father has been part of youth soccer in Columbus since the mid-90s. Jacob and his brother Matt grew up on the fields at the Woodruff Soccer Complex in Columbus. Jacob started playing at 4. He's joined the USCP men's national team and has played in international competitions in Spain, Chile, England, Australia. He was part of the last World Cup last November, and he had an unbelievable tournament. 5 goals, contributed to 8 total goals, even played some goalkeeper in an emergency situation, led a comeback in a 4-3 win against Germany where he scored an equalizer and the game winner while assisting on the go-ahead goal. So he was heavily involved in that comeback. Jacob and his team were training in Fayetteville last week as part of the Adapt and Thrive Invitational, bringing together many of the extended national teams. Maddie, you were there, and you've got a lot of content from the Adapt and Thrive event on the SDH Network. Let everybody know.
Yeah, absolutely. Had the chance to catch up with head coach of the CP men's national team, also heavily involved in all of the extended national teams, in Stuart Sharp. We talked a lot about the Adapt and Thrive event. We talked a lot about the upcoming U.S. training center here in Atlanta, the, you know, going the chance to go to the site of the facility where it's still being constructed and, you know, what's to come for the extended national teams. And then I also chatted with the captain of the U.S. women's deaf national team in Kate Ward. Captain and Atlanta native, talked as well about the event, talked about her being a captain and, you know, what legacy she wants to leave for the younger generation that's coming up right behind her. And yeah, no, it was a ton of fun. So go check it out on our SDH Network group on YouTube channel.
Yeah, I always love the Adapt and Thrive event. And it's really cool that we're going to get to have that here in the Atlanta area consistently from now on. Number 2 on things that make me smile, the ball boy in the Germany-Italy UEFA Nations League game. Paying attention to the game, Noel Urbaniak, he saw that the Italians on a corner that was awarded are arguing and yelling and not paying attention, and he saw Joshua Kimmich running over to the corner, tossed him the ball quickly, and it led to one of the most ridiculous goals that you've ever seen, embarrassing Italy, putting them into a more difficult qualifying group, knocking them out of Nations League, and it's all because the ball boy was paying attention and got the job done. Last one on things that make us smile, really quickly, Maddie, we were talking about it in the break. Cecilia Waterman from Panama, not happy, knocked the U.S. out in the semifinal, but the celebration with Thierry Henry was pretty special.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, he gets subbed on to play. He's able to score a goal to massively help his own country, you know, make it further into the tournament. And then he gets to celebrate with one of his idols, his heroes in Thierry Henry. And, you know, I would totally recommend go watch the interview that they did with him on the Golasso Network. I mean, it is, it brought me a little bit emotional. I got a little teary eyed for that one.
Yeah. Big props for them to bring him out. That was very, very cool. He was yelling at Henry, Idolo, his idol. It was so cool. It's very, very cool. Not great that he knocked the U.S. out with it, but at least we got some enjoyment out of all of it. Okay, Saturday, 6:30 pregame coverage from the Benz with Maddie and Abe. That will get us started. Kickoff will be at 7:40 Atlanta United and NYCFC. And then next week, we're back to Tuesdays with Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We'll be after the Hawks post-game show next week on Tuesday, about 10:30-ish. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get all of our soccer content from 92.9 The Game. Thanks for joining me, Maddie, and thanks to all of you for listening. Adios, everybody.